Recording has started, sir.
Thank you very much, operator. Welcome to this call number 5 on the 14th of July of Working Party 3 with regards to emerging issues from a public comment. And the aim of this call, I'm sorry for not having sent an agenda earlier, but as many of us, and I'm pretty sure that mostly every one of us was packed into meetings and calls, so I really didn't have time to look into the agenda. But may I suggest that for the agenda at this call, we, of course, do a roll call as usual. Then we get to look into the three papers that have been worked by the subgroups. We have the paper on SO and AC accountability, the one on staff accountability, and the one prepared by Sebastian with regards to diversity. Of course, the aim of the call would be to have finalized versions of these three documents. I believe that we're pretty close to having final versions, as the many comments and contributions from each member have already been approved by either myself, and I think Sebastian has done also his part on the diversity paper. And with that, then we would close with any other business and adjourn the call. So are there any objections to this agenda?
Nope.
Okay. No objections. Excellent. So the roll call, as usual.
Leon, sorry, it's Sebastian. No objection,
Okay.
But maybe we can have a few minutes to talk about Paris meetings, what we want to achieve as a Work Party 3, where we need to do something, and if we can have this short discussion, could be useful. Thank you.
Excellent. So I will ask staff to please add that point to the agenda as point number 5, and then just have any other business as point number 6 in the agenda. Thank you very much.
Could you show the agenda, please? I don't see agenda on the on the screen. Could it be demonstrated, the agenda?
Yes,
nothing is being shared.
Yeah, you can see it in the right column where the notes are being taken, Kavus, but I'll ask...
In the right column is nothing. Discussion notes is nothing.
You have to scroll up.
Scroll up.
You might have to scroll up, and but anyways, staff, could you please do a very quick copy-paste so we can display this on... on the
okay, welcome call. Yes,
screen.
I found it. Welcome call, and as always, yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah.
Excellent. So then the roll call would be those of us present on the Adobe Connect room. Is there anyone that is attending the call over the phone bridge that is not on the Adobe Connect room?
Not there yet, but I will be, Cheryl.
Okay, Cheryl, thank you very much. So, Cheryl, could you please, staff, could you please add Cheryl to the roll call? And with no further delay, and as we have very little time, I'd like to go through the SOAC accountability draft paper. The last version is the one that is in the Google Docs. I haven't sent this version to staff, so most likely they won't be able to display it in the center, in the central pane of the Adobe Connect room. But I am pasting the link to the chat box so you can all go into the document and we can have the final review on the fly. And so far, the different comments that were made by many people, including Jan, Avery, Sebastian, and I remember also Jeff Newman, I believe, that made some comments. And these are all comments that have been already incorporated into the document. There is only one outstanding comment by Sebastian, which is... highlighted on paragraph 2 with regards to the word created, and Sebastian is commenting on or being made public, and since I didn't quite understand what you referred with that, Sebastian. I'd like to ask you if you could please explain what you mean by being made public, because I mean we can amend this paragraph by saying, for example, the comment made by Center recommends that an accountability, literacy, culture, and attitude is created and made public by establishing training. I don't know if that would be an amendment that would capture your comments, Sebastian.
Thank you, Leon. It's Sebastian Bachelet. The question is that I am not sure that we know all the established training and program on that field. And I am sure that there is. And I can tell you that, for example, there are some training about how you call that harassment. It's maybe even sexual harassment who is existing, and that was also a need for the board member to follow these trainings. And I am not sure that there is nothing. And I just want to be sure that we don't say that we are the one who will create everything because there is nothing. I would like to be sure that we first say, just tell us what is existing, and if not, we need to add some new items and create them. That was my point on that issue. And maybe I saw that who is online, Samantha is online. Maybe she can say something about that if she wishes, because I am almost sure that there are at least few elements already existing. Thank you. Hope it's clear what I am trying to tell you. Thank you.
Okay, so I've amended the document with a quick wording here to say that the comment made by Center recommends that an accountability, literacy, culture, and attitude is fostered by not only establishing but also disclosing existing programs on training and audit for ICANN staff, in order to have staff be accountable on their day-to-day actions. I think that kind of reflects what you were just saying, because it not only shows that there might already be some programs in place, but we, of course, need to know about them, and we would also welcome expanding those programs. Is that accurate, Sebastian?
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
Excellent. So at this point, are there any other comments with regards to the staff accountability paper? Or could we say we can close this as a final version that we can add to the frozen document list? I don't know. Jeff, you mentioned that you might want to go through the changes that you made to the document and maybe explain why you made those changes. So I see you have your hand raised. So Jeff, could you please take the floor?
Yeah, I thought it would, since there were some changes made last night, just so that people are familiar with those changes and make sure, most importantly, that we have agreement on those changes. I want people to know what's in the document. So. And Avery made some changes as well, so maybe those are the only two that I know of us that made substantial changes. So Avery, I don't know if you want to take turns and kind of jump through what changes we made. I know you made some changes a little bit earlier on in the document. Sorry, Avery, didn't mean to put you on the spot. But I can go through mine, and Avery, if you want to jump in on yours.
Yeah, that would be great, Jeff. That would be great. I mean, so far I believe that everyone in the call has gone through the document, and I see no objection.
Yeah, I'm happy to do it. It took me a while to find my mute button.
Yeah, I should have I should have saved mine as a red line. I know my first big change was really in the bylaws section after the following actions. But you, Aubrey, you may have had a couple changes before that.
Yeah, I'm trying to find them now that they've been accepted. I think I made... Okay, where did I make my changes? Oh, I wasn't ready for this. Why don't you go through with yours, and then by then I'll have found mine, and I'll come back.
Okay, sure. So the first change I made is, if you scroll down to the bottom of page 2 on the version that is showing up on Adobe, I added a new section A, because it says that, therefore, the WP3 suggests that the CCWG takes the following actions. And one of the things that we talked about was, you know, as part of Workstream 1 is creating a clear and concise description of the role of ICANN staff, the role of ICANN staff vis-a-vis the ICANN board and the ICANN community. This should include a general description of the powers vested in ICANN staff by the ICANN board of directors, which need and those which do not need approval of the ICANN board of directors. So this is something that I know has been particularly an issue with the contracted parties, at least, where most of that part of the community is unaware of which actions require board approval, which actions can be done by staff without board approval, and this is especially important because where there are... What we were talking about the other day is really the board of directors is really the key body that holds the ICANN staff accountable, and that's true of most corporations. The board holds the staff accountable, but if the board vests certain powers in the staff without any review by the board, then there's no accountability measures unless we create some. If that makes any sense. So this definition is something that we talked about of the role of ICANN staff being a Workstream 1 item. And I don't know if anyone – I'll stop there and see if anyone's got questions on that or comments.
Thank you very much. Jeff, would it be fair to say that we include this as part of the definitions that we have set up at the scoping document on Workstream 1. We have a scoping document that has lots of definitions and that of course guide the work that we're doing. And I think that the easiest way to address this section that you've added would be to include as part of that document the role of ICANN staff. And what we're asking for here. Would that be fair?
I'm not as familiar with that scoping document, and so I'm pretty new to this whole process. So I will let others that are more familiar with that comment on that. I'm not sure. I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
No, I have a question.
Yes, please do.
Yes, we are talking of a staff accountability, we are talking of a staff obligations, responsibility. Do we add something, protection of the staff, a staff protection of the rights against retaliation, rights against harassment, rights against many other things. In every organization of ICANN size or less than ICANN size, there is an ethic officer, and this ethic officer is reporting directly to the management, top management, either the board chairman or to the CEO, of any actions which ignore the rights of the staff, and that should be totally in discrete actions and without being disclosed and protect the staff. Otherwise, a staff may have fear if he reports something, his or her supervisor or superior may take retaliation actions. Do we have something in the ICANN or we don't have? I don't think that we should talk only about their responsibility, their accountability. We should also talk about their rights. Thank you. In particular, the harassment of the females. Thank you.
Can I make some response to that because it relates to changes I made? This is Aubrey.
Yes, please do, Aubrey.
Okay. Yeah, thank you very much for that, Caboose. And then I think we're going to need to get back to Jeff because he was just taking, I think, a break in his explanation. Under the ATRT2 comment, one of the changes I made was the addition of, however, one area in which ATRT2 did make recommendations concerning the staff deals with the operation of whistleblowing activities by the staff and the need to ensure that there is a safe means by which the staff can inform the community of problems and issues that only they can see. So we touched one little piece of that, but you are so very right about ICANN suffering from the absence of an ethics officer or a corporate social responsibility officer. That is very true. That we did not put into this, nor do I think it fits, though getting that in somewhere is something that would be quite good, and we've had various conversations at other times about the application of human rights to the staff as well as in general. So it's very good. But at least that one point on safety in terms of them being able to speak out, we have been. Thanks, and then I'll when it's time for me to go through all the stuff, I'll go through my other change.
Is it in the form of any ethic officer or in the form of what? How it works? It's good to foresee, but how it works? And the staff has been harassed or has been intimidated without going to his boss or supervisor, should go to a source, it totally undisclosed, and except the higher or top management, they should be aware of that, and the staff would not have any fear of retaliation or any contrary action because they have reported the truth. Is there any post or any entity or any arrangement that implement what you have proposed through the ATRT2 submissions? I'm talking of the modality and vector to implement that. Thank you.
At the moment, there is a mechanism. There is uncertainty about the degree to which it actually works. And so one of the things that ATRT asked for that we're still waiting for is an external audit review of that process to see if it is indeed working and if not, what we should do about it. But there is currently a mechanism that is purported to fulfill that function. They are, however, barred from using the ombudsman for that purpose.
Okay. Thank you very much, Avery. Thank you very much, Caboose. I do think that point number C, paragraph number C of the suggestions does address this concern raised by Caboose and explained by Avery in some way, and we're also pointing to this whistleblower mechanism in the document, and we would, of course, take this as part of the conclusions from the group. I'll go back to Jeff so he can continue to explain the changes he made to the document. Jeff, could you please take the floor again?
Yeah, I could. I'm just curious to see if I know Phil Corwin and Greg have their hands raised, and if it's on this first point, I'm wondering if we want to hear those comments and then I can go back. But really on the part A, it was just to be clear, it's not on HR matters. It's not meant to touch any of that stuff. It's really meant to define the role of ICANN staff vis-a-vis the board and the ICANN community. So what powers are vested in staff, is kind of clear to know. And like I said, contracted parties, I'll give you an example. Certain things that contracted parties want to do require contract amendments. Contract amendments have to be agreed upon by the board. Certain things that contracted parties want to do don't require amendments and therefore can rely completely on agreement by staff. We just have no clue, really, which topics fit into which category. And so really a clear definition of what the role is of staff versus the board in approving those types of things is something that we as contracted parties have been asking for years, and I think fits in with the accountability, so you know how and who you can hold accountable for those types of decisions.
Thank you, Jeff. Are there any direct reactions either from Phil or Greg to this paragraph A added by Jeff?
This is Phil. Is it okay to speak?
Yes, please do, Phil.
Yeah, I just wanted to reinforce what Jeff just said with a very recent example, the dot travel renewal, which there was remarks made on that at the public forum and remarks made by council members when they met with Global Domain Division staff and the board in Buenos Aires. There was not unanimity within the GNSO whether the insertion of certain RPMs for the new TLD program in legacy TLD contracts was a policy change, which was done in compliance with the bylaws. But it does illustrate the issue in that I went to numerous staff persons and said, well, this contract and the ones for CAT and PRO, does it or doesn't it require further board approval once staff analyzes the comments on the contract and a final decision is made? And by the way, that staff report is a week and a half overdue. And I couldn't get a straight answer. So I think it clearly identifies the need for, I think, one, giving a particular focus to staff who engage in contract negotiations, because they, unlike other staff, have the ability to negotiate provisions with which, whether you agree with them or not, may have policy implications, and to decide and to understand when the board is required to review and approve them, when it isn't, and when it isn't, to provide a mechanism to the community if there is concern that there's a bylaws or policy question, to either to have a way to review that or to compel the board to an express a view on that, which can then be addressed further by the accountability mechanisms that are being proposed. So I hope that wasn't too long-winded, but I agree with Jeff. It's hard to find out when the board is required to approve contract revisions and when it isn't, and there's certainly no accountability mechanism right now that speaks to any of that.
Thank you very much, Phil. Any reactions to that, Jeff?
No, I mean, I agree with Phil, although we're on different sides of that one particular issue. The point made is that they are we're just not sure of what who the role is, whose role it is to make those decisions. So I think it is very important to get those types of things clear. And I see Sam's comment. Can we maybe break out some of the particular issues, such as the contract revisions? And, Sam, I think that just to answer that from my perspective, that's just one example of many. And I don't want to get too far down in the details at this point. I think creating an overall definition of listing certain responsibilities that are for the board or for the staff, much like bylaws generally do, in terms of delineate powers between different bodies, I think is something we should aim for in Workstream 1. And then Workstream 2 is get down to the nitty-gritty. I think right now just picking out particular examples is probably not going to be very fruitful, because there's always going to be examples that we just don't think of. So to the extent that we can think of an overall definition, I think it's better. But that's just my view on that.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Next in the queue, I have Greg. Greg, would you want to comment on this?
Thanks. I'll comment briefly. First, I'm somewhat concerned with this as a Workstream 1 comment or concept, given this is, you know, goes to issues that have, as Jeff has said, have been wrestled with for years. And now, on top of everything else we're dealing with, we're going to try to kind of find the Rosetta Stone for staff versus board division of labor and power in a few weeks. So I'm not optimistic about that. I think it's, you know, in the long run something that needs to be focused on, but in the short run I'm skeptical. On a non-substantive point, as long as I'm talking, I think that up in the document above where it says having reviewed and inventoried, there should be inserted a heading so it's clear that this is not all part of the bylaws section, something like recommendations or suggestions, so that we know that we're coming to a new part of the document. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Greg. I'll definitely amend that on the fly. I have added to paragraph 8 that was edited by Jeff a new wording that is highlighted in red. And just to close this paragraph, I would like to read it. And it would read, include as part of the problem statement and definitions document for workstream 1, a clear, concise description of the role of item staff, BAV, the ICANN Board, and the ICANN community. This should include a general description of the powers vested in ICANN staff by the ICANN Board of Directors, which need and do not need approval of the ICANN Board of Directors. Are there any objections to this new wording? Okay. So having no objections, I will close this paragraph and accept the text. So next on the queue, I have, I don't know if you want to go back to your changes, Jeff, or Avery, would you like to comment on your changes?
I was going to comment on change and respond to Fazi's question on ombudsman, but I can wait until Jeff has gotten, or until we've gotten to see.
Excellent. So, Jeff, could you please continue walking us through the additions that you made?
Yep, I think that, so the next change I made was a small one. It was in that the next paragraph, which is B, and it said review its current document. So in the next version, it said all of the currently proposed mechanisms are also applicable to staff action or inaction. And I put the word certain of the currently proposed mechanisms because right now, and I don't know what it says in the new version of the IRP that people are working on, but right now, the IRP, the independent review process, is only applicable to board action or inaction. And I went back and double-checked that in the current bylaws, and that's the way it is. And I noticed in the current IRPs that have either been decided or are still being argued, staff, ICANN's representatives definitely make it clear that it is only based on actions or inactions of the board and not of any other part of ICANN. I think one of the cases I read was someone was making a claim against the Board Governance Committee, and ICANN staff argued that the Board Governance Committee is not the board, and therefore the IRP was not applicable. I don't know how that's going to come out, but I just wanted clear to know that the independent review process, is, as it currently is worded, is not available to staff actions or inactions.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
Yeah, please jump in.
Anyone want to react to what just what Jeff just said? I think that that is a good addition, since maybe not all mechanisms that are being proposed could be applicable to staff. So yes, when we say certain mechanisms, maybe we should be going into detail with that. But I think that that can be an exercise that we can go. And carry out in our Paris meeting. So, any other reactions to this?
Then on the next change I made was on C. The only thing I added there were the words key performance indicators. So it says to include a work plan as part of work stream 2 that considers the creation of a code of conduct, transparency criteria, training and key performance indicators to be followed by staff in relation to their interactions with all stakeholders, etc. So that's all I added, but I know that this is the paragraph that deals with the ombudsman. So, Avery, did you want to address that here?
Sure. In that sentence that you're talking about, with where you key performance indicators, I added the training. So transparency criteria, training, and key performance indicators. As Workstream 2 activity. The sentence I added at the bottom was Workstream 2 would include work done during the ombudsman work of Oh, it should be WS2. Sorry, that's a miswriting on my part. WS2 on the ability of staff to use the ombudsman for escalating or otherwise making community aware of issues. So as work stream two, and I'll need to correct that, and I also noticed a couple other grammar changes, like S's I left off the end of words. So ombudsman work is already well established as being part of work stream two, and there's lots of open issues. Now, we still need to make sure that the work stream two work actually happens and happens under the proper context. What I'm adding in this sentence is that as part of the work for the ombudsman, it should be in scope for them to review the rules that currently exist that sort of says the that staff members cannot use the services of the ombudsman for issues. Now, when they look at that, they'll need to go diving deeper and look at it in terms of can they use it for any issues or can they only use it for policy issues but not for personnel problems or what have you. So there'll be a lot of discussion within that. But I just wanted to answer Fazi's question that ombudsman is definitely on the table for work stream two as needing major look at. And here I'm adding that staff consideration to it. Thanks.
Thank you very much for this, Avery. These are also very useful additions. And are there any objections or comments to Avery's additions to the document? I see some hands up. I don't know if Jeff, that is hands up because you are going to continue on walking us through the changes that you've made. So
yeah, it's not on Avery's changes. It's on continuing.
Excellent. So I see and I hear no objections to Avery's additions. So this would also be close into the document. I'm going back to Julia.
Sure. So then the last thing I added as the last recommendation is something we talked about on, I think it was yesterday. I'm getting my calls mixed up here. But one of the things that we had talked about was, you know, realistic and meaningful access to redress by aggrieved parties that can demonstrate actual harm caused by ICANN staff action or inaction. So that I added, it's basically for a commitment to carry on a detailed working plan as part of Workstream 2 to address that. And I think there was general agreement, at least in the chat section yesterday, but I wanted everyone to make sure that they were comfortable with that. That was the last change.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Jeff. So are there any objections to this last addition made by Jeff? Okay, so I think we have a final version for this staff accountability document. The final version is, of course, the one on the Google Docs link, as it has been edited on the fly, and not the one that is in the Adobe Connect Room central pane. So I will close this document now and circulate so we can send it to staff to add to the frozen document list for Paris. The next document that I would like to go to is the SO and AC accountability. We have also, I saw Sam Eisner hand was up. Sam, could you want to comment or add something? We do not hear you, Sam. You might be on mute.
Can you hear me now?
We do hear you.
Okay, great. So with this document, and I'm sorry I missed a couple of the meetings of WP3, so is this – how do we consider this in terms of Workstream 1? You know, what does this do? Is this actionable work? Is this something that would go into the report? Is this a proposal? I guess I'm not clear as to how this I see that parts of it set out what could be considered or setting out a work plan to getting things into work stream one, but how do we – what's the proposal for this to be part of actually getting into the recommendations that would come out of work stream one?
Thanks, Sam. This is a good question. I think that that is something that we as subgroup can't answer at this point. But my feeling is that with these papers that we would be sending to the larger group, we will have a discussion in Paris. There's a time slot assigned for Working Party 3 conclusions, and I believe that the next step would be to have analyzed by the larger group how we can incorporate the recommendations into our Workstream 1 document, if that needs be. Mostly all the recommendations are being suggested to take place under Workstream 2. And let's say, for example, with regards to diversity, we are looking into taking care of diversity with regards to those mechanisms that would require to designate people to populate the different mechanisms. So this would, of course, need to be considered as part of Workstream 1. But other than that, mostly all the suggestions that we're making would be part of the Workstream 2 working plan. I don't know if that answers your question. Okay, so I see Steve Dobianco. Steve, could you please take the floor?
Thanks, Leon. Yes, I am sorry I just joined the call. I had to terminate another one. And I spent a few hours today answering public comments on the stress testing. And one set of comments, it was the registry stakeholder group, were concerned that IRP can question the action of the board, but what about action of the staff where the board took no action? So please forgive me if you've already covered this, but is that something that this staff accountability group will handle? Or is it something we need to do in WP1? Thank you.
I'm sorry, I wasn't able to listen clearly to what you said. Could you please repeat the last part that you said, Steve?
Yeah, the last part was simply this. Getting the IRP to apply to staff decisions, is that something that WP3 will handle? Or is that going to be delegated to WP1 as part of Workstream 1?
Oh, okay. Now I listen well. No, I think that it would be something that Working Party 1 would need to take care of. We would only be delegating the suggestions so that appropriate working parties that are already taking care of these issues may take it into account when they come up with the next version of their proposal. So I see Jeff Newman hand us up. Jeff, could you please take the floor?
Yeah, sure. So just to be clear, right now, the independent review process does not cover staff action or inaction at all. So the bylaws are very clear on that. Like I said, I'm kind of only in this group and not familiar with everything going on in the other groups. But at this point, it is very clear in the bylaws that it is only actions by the board. And, in fact, ICANN staff has been making that argument in all of the IRPs to date, including one I just read today, which is by Merck. I think it's Merck versus ICANN in that independent review. It's not decided yet, but ICANN staff came back with its replies because it's a complaint based on the Board Governance Committee action, and ICANN staff clearly stated that that it only covers board action and not the full board action, not even partial board action. And, Steve, I understand what you're saying. That's the existing bylaws. I haven't seen the amendments of the new bylaws, so all I can work off of is – what I know exists today. So all we did in here, Steve, was create a sentence that basically says, as part of work stream two, to make sure there's a commitment to carry out a detailed working plan on enhancing ICANN staff accountability that includes realistic and meaningful access to redress by aggrieved parties that can demonstrate actual harm caused by ICANN staff action or inaction. So that's all we put in here. Whether that's the IRP, whether that's strengthening the ombudsman, whether that's creating a whole different one, who knows? But just kind of the principle here is to have meaningful access to redress. I hope that helps. Not dictating which of the where it needs to go. And then I see a comment from Keith on the chat that said all these are talking basically about not cramming things unnecessarily into Workstream 1. And Keith, the only thing we put in here as part of Workstream 1, which I think is important and has certainly been voiced as important to all the contracted parties, and Phil Corwin actually just agreed to, is that creating a clear, concise description of the role of ICANN staff vis-a-vis the ICANN board and the ICANN community. So I think that's all we're asking for in this as far as part of Workstream 1. And I do think that's critical before the transition happens. But happy to talk about that as well.
Thank you very much, Jeff. And yes, that would be the only addition to Workstream 1 that we would be suggesting. And as for the last edit that I made, addressing these comments by Jeff and Phil, these would be some definition that we would be adding to the problem statement and definition document, which is, of course, an annex to our proposal. So I believe that this would have very little impact in what we are already proposing into Workstream 1. So if there are no more comments on staff accountability, I'd like to go to SO1AC accountability. And I've posted the link to the document on the chat box as well. I will be pasting it again so you can all access the document. And of course, would ask staff to display this on the central pane of the Adobe Connect room. So there were also some additions made to this document, mainly by Jan. And I also remember seeing a couple of comments, I believe, by Avery. And I don't recall if there were also some comments by Sebastian, but this is what we have on the screen now would be so far the last version that we have, and I would like to call for any objections on the way that we have drafted this document. And if there are no objections to this version of the document that we have on display, I see Sebastian hand this up. Sebastian, could you please take the floor?
Yes, thank you, Leon. Sebastian Bachelet. Yeah, I was just wondering, we talk about SOAC and we have the same problem in the diversity document. Are we referring to strictly SO and ACs, or are we referring to all the body within ICANN? Because we are here talking about not the board, not the staff, but once again, are we talking just about the SOAC and that already needs some discussion, or we are talking about the different layer of each SO and each AC? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sebastian. The comments received were in relation to having, of course, accountability enhancements for SOs and ACs, as far as I can tell. I understand that it would be something that would be desirable maybe to go to the next layer, maybe, of course, having the SOs, ACs being accountable for to their constituencies, to their stakeholder groups, etc. And that is something that we could suggest, but I don't think that it would be something that we could carry out, of course, as part of work stream one. We could clarify in the recommendations that we're doing at the end of this paper on SO1AC accountability, that our suggestions would be aimed to bringing enhanced accountability not only at the SOAC level, but also to the base layers of SOs and ACs, which would be, of course, stakeholder group constituencies, RALOs, ALSs in the case of the ALAC, etc. So would that be a fair addition that we would be wanting to do to the document? I don't know. I see Sebastian hand is up still, so I don't know if that's a reaction.
No, just to tell you that I agree with this proposal. I just one additional comment. It's do we add also the nominating committee? They do a lot with transparency. Did we need to add that as a the organization we need to follow also? And I agree with you that it must be in Workstream 2 agenda. Thank you.
Thank you, Sebastian. So I'll reword the suggestions on the fly so we can have a look at them in the next couple of minutes. I'll take the time that you will use for walking us through the diversity paper to edit, to make the editings to this SOAC accountability paper, and then come back for a final revision. In the queue, I have Cavus. Cavus, could you please take the floor?
Yes. with respect to the accountability of SO and AC in regard with their constituency, we should add the qualifier saying that where applicable. In some cases, it is not applicable. I give you example, GAC. You could not put anything on the responsibility with respect to their constituency. What is the constituency of the GAC? It's government. The people coming in the GAC are representative of government. They are responsible to the government. And there is nothing in the bylaw to modify the authority of the government with respect to the degree of responsibility that they put on their representative. So in the case of GAC, it doesn't work. You could not help the representative of GAC or GAC to anything than their own government. So we cannot add anything to that. So perhaps we should add according to the case or as the case may be. It doesn't
excellent
happen in all cases. It's possible. It is very
excellent
important.
Thank you very much, Cavus. That's an excellent suggestion, and I will definitely keep that in mind while I rework our suggestions for review in a couple of minutes. So I will go now to Sebastian. If you could please take us through the diversity document. I see you have pasted the link on the chat box. And
yes, Leon,
you,
you want me to help with the meeting, and you do the change of the ISO AC accountability at the same time. I will be
yes,
happy to do so.
Do.
Then thank you. Then the document it's placed also in the Adobe Connect room. I took into account almost all the comments made or proposal made by Sean, Avery, Greg, Jan, and I may be forgetting one or two, but they are all included, and I don't know if you want me to go through. I don't know what you have done at the last conference call, but I think that you have time to read it. If you want me to comment or if you have any question, please do so, and I will try to answer to give you some feedback. Cavus, is it all end or it's a new one?
Yes, you didn't refer to what I said. I said a lot at the last meeting for diversity. I said that all of them are good but are not implementable. Apart from the competency and experience and geographical distribution, the remaining should be in a sort of the qualifier and other elements as the circumstances allow. We could not talk about age. We could not talk about disability. We could not talk about the stakeholder. We should not talk about many other things, language, and so on and so forth. These are the good ones, other elements as appropriate. So we could not go beyond that. I don't think that you could make any diversity, any criteria for origin, whether I should shoot some origin up, some origin down. Nothing about the culture is very, very complex and difficult, and I don't think that we are capable or qualified to talk about the culture of the people, nor about the language, apart from the six languages that we have, about the gender, because I said that, yes, gender is to the extent possible, but we cannot totally implement that. As I mentioned the other time, we cannot, because there might be case that we will get into the problem and so on and so forth. So I don't think that you can go so the other than competency, experience, and geographical distribution, which currently we have difficulty in the five geographical regions, the other would be to the extent practicable and possible. Otherwise, we cannot talk about any other things. I don't think that you could expel out something because of his age low or his age high. Nothing from the origin, because it is from Asia or Africa or, I don't know, Oceania, or from the race or from all of this is good but not implementable. So it says that according to the possibilities and to the extent practicable. So you should put a qualifier on that. I mentioned that and I don't want to repeat it again, and I hope that we will do that one. It is difficult. Otherwise, you will talking and talking and talking without any implementability possibility. Thank you.
Thank you, Kavus. Jan, I saw that you are asking, maybe it's my wrong usage of Google Docs, but you were not commenting. You were commenting in adding... you were commenting in added phrases in the document, and I add the idea you took, for example, in at the level of the point number 3 at the end of the document, to have this, for example, the fellowship program, and it's not because I didn't use your ideas. I think that you are not able to talk, but. If you are able and you want to talk, just take the floor.
Yes, I repeat, with respect of all of them are valid, but we should categorize them, saying that diversity we should take into account from the geographical diversity, adding a parenthesis, currently 5 regions, they are not balanced. Second, from the competence and experience. And third, we could say from the other point, as is possible or to the extent practicable, age and others. You could not take the other into account directly. Diversity we can take into account. Competency we should take into account. Experience we should take into account. But age we cannot take into account. We could take into account to the extent practicable. Culture, we could take into account to the extent practicable, because we have no knowledge about any criteria to say which is the culture should be taken into account. So these are the things. Apart from competence, experience, and geographical distribution, you list the others and say that to the extent practicable. Thank you.
Thank you, Kavus. Avery, please.
Thank you. Yes, Siri comes to me at twice. I think that they all have to be taken.
Your sound is very bad, Avery. We have difficulty to hear you well. I don't know why.
I'm doing the best I can. So,
it's better
sorry.
Now.
Okay, I turned off my air conditioning. Okay. I have an issue with what Kavus is saying, because even skill and region can only be taken into account to the extent to which it's reasonable. Excuse me. So I think that to distinguish some as being absolute and some being, you know, strong requirements that need to be taken into account to the degree possible is not a good approach. I think all of them should be listed and all of them should be taken into account to the extent possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Avery. Jan, please.
I'm going to try. Are you actually hearing me?
Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful. With time and patience, connection from anywhere is possible. Thank you, Sebastian. I now see what you've done, which is great. No, the points were two. One was concerning the where you put it under next steps number three, reviewing in more detail and establishing a full inventory of the existing mechanisms, blah blah blah. Is it also review in more detail than the full inventory? Is it also doing a review with a view to try to enhance these? So in other words, it's not just inventory of the fellowship program, for example, but also to think about how the fellowship program could actually work better in order to generate more diversity in ICANN.
Jan, I put this idea on the top of the next steps, and each point 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 are deemed to be to enhance further the effectiveness in promoting.
I got you. I'm sorry. Yeah, no, I'm only seeing the document for the first time. Apologies. The other question was, Mathieu had a very specific suggestion about regional distribution within the IRP and the new community empowerment mechanism. He had some formula about not having more than a third of any input from any SO or AC coming from one region. I don't know whether that was a workable proposal. I don't see it taken in here. Was there a reason for avoiding it on your part?
My trouble was we don't know yet how each group will be set up, how they will be the number of people and all that needs to be taken into account. It's why I think for the moment the proposal made by Mathieu are very workable, but we need to take that in front of the proposal for each and every creation of groups. And it's why I didn't include it as such in the document. But it's not. I agree with you. We need not to forget them. Those proposals.
Is it possible perhaps to add a number 6, which says pending clarification of exact arrangements ... In other words, that we still have it on the list. I'm afraid otherwise we may, in the rush of Paris, forget it.
I am sure that we will not, but I get your point. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Sebastian.
Greg, you are the next.
Thank you, Sebastian. Greg Chatton, for the record. Sorry I did not get the chance that I had hoped to have to add some suggestions to the document following comments on a prior call, but I think that there is a missing element to the document, which is recognition of the linkage between outreach and engagement and diversity, or more particularly that diversity, strengthening diversity, needs to start with creating a more diverse pool or a less imbalanced pool of engaged participants, and that or participants at all, putting aside the issue of engagement, and that kind of starting with the imbalanced pool we have and trying to create some sort of balanced diversity creates inequities as well as perhaps solving other inequities. So you know, I would almost add as a number 1 or somewhere in the next steps, strengthening commitment to outreach and engagement so that there is a more diverse pool, a more balanced pool, so that diversity doesn't require kind of machinations and the like to try to draw an equal mix of participants from an unequal pool. And since we do have an unequal pool, especially since we have an unequal pool, I think all of these things should be only to the extent practicable or possible, striving to do so, rather than absolutes. I think there's a word must in here somewhere. There's a shall. All those musts and shalls, I think, must go, because at that point we're starting to create quotas and exclusionary activities, and I think that would be unfortunate. I think that hopefully the time will come when we don't have to talk about diversity because the pool we have is diverse and participants are coming from all over. I think there are lots of barriers other than the number of participants of each type that definitely need to be worked on, language barriers, mobility barriers, et cetera. But in terms of sheer numbers, trying to make the numbers line up when you're drawing from a pool where the numbers don't line up, I think is a root problem that needs to be dealt with. Everything else is dealing with secondary symptoms of that root problem. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. Kavos, next.
Yes, Sebastian. I don't think this list is exhaustive. It is non-exhaustive. Devotion to perform the duty is not there. Neutrality is not there. Faithfulness is not there. Ethical attitude is not there. Courtesy is not there. Sense of responsibility is not there. I don't think that these are exhaustive lists. This is non-exhaustive list, and I don't think that we should treat them equally. I don't think that neutrality is not exchangeable for anything. The most important element, the guy should be neutral and impartial with respect to performing his duty. So therefore, this list is not complete, and I disagree with this text, and I disagree that we should put no change, no preference between the experienced. The non-experienced person, no matter how polite is this, is not working at all. The non-skillful person, no matter how best he knows the language, is not comparable. So we have to have a degree of importance to these things. And what you are doing, never done in any other organization. So you are inventing something. This is an invention by the CCWG, and I totally disagree with that. And I disagree with Avery. She insists, as usual, and I don't like this sort of the discussion. We should have some principles, and this principle is not correct. I'm sorry. This is the third time I am in secret. Please don't interrupt me. Kindly, don't interrupt me. This is the situation. We have to take into account of all comments. Thank you.
I am taking into account your accounts. I just want to... It's Sebastian Bachelet for the record. I just want to tell you that the question you are raising are very good question, and if you look to all the documents in the current bylaws, in the element to select a board member, in the at-large to select an ALAC member, and other documents, those points are taken into account. What we are talking here, it's what we need to add to the current situation. It's not to say that the current situation must go away. It's just to say that we need to add some elements because we think that it's important that those elements be taken for the future into account in this organization. And there is nothing to disagree with you on that. I tell you once again that in the current bylaw, those elements are, and I hope that it will be possible to work in the direction of the document suggests, because I really think we need to go further in diversifying the current leaders and member of this or participant of this organization. Alan Greenberg, please, you have the floor.
Sebastian, if they are already there, I need to see the whole list. Even everything is there, and you add that one, still we need some degree of priority. Experience and knowledge is something more important than language and culture. Thank you.
We're supposed to have the floor.
Yes, may I please call to order? Next on the queue is Alan, then we have Jan, then Akimbo. So I will handle the call back to Sebastian just to give the floor to Alan.
Thank you very much. I really wasn't going to comment, but I plead that what we come out with is something that is both reasonable and practical and not end up allowing us to have a good scorecard but not solving the problems. And I'm really afraid the farther we go down some of these roads, that's what we're doing. I will refer to something that's happening elsewhere in the organization right now, the GNSO review, where there's a recommendation that says the GNSO Council must ensure that work groups reflect the diversity in the Internet. I'm not quoting it verbatim. We can do that. We can put people on work groups. They won't do anything in many cases, but we will be able to tick off the boxes saying it's diverse and it reflects the diversity of the Internet. So I just want, you know, as much as we want to fix the real problems, we don't want to spend our efforts and time doing things which make it look like we're doing a good job and don't address the real problems. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. Next in the queue, we have Jen.
Yes, thank you, Leon. Just to say that we can, in our Workstream 2 activities, do a careful review of what has happened elsewhere in global governance, especially in organizations that include civil society participation, the Committee on World Food Security, the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, Tuberculosis and Malaria, the International Agricultural Assessment on Science and Technology and Development, and others. There are many bodies of the last 10 years in global governance which have developed quite sophisticated ways of incorporating gender diversity, class diversity, disability, regional diversity. It's simply not the case that we are inventing the wheel for the first time. And actually, ICANN is behind on a number of these dimensions. So again, I think we don't want to be overly ambitious, but we don't want to be under ambitious either. I think and the other point again to make, I hear what Alan is saying, but I think the response is again, one wants to have intensified, proactive outreach to find the competent people. The competent people are there. It's just that people from other regions, from other classes, maybe from other genders as well, don't know how to engage with ICANN yet. And if we do, if the staff with their fellowship programs and others, other channels, put an intensified effort into effective outreach and engagement, I think we will find that including diversity is really not as difficult as some people are making out. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jen. Next in the queue, I have Akimbo. Akimbo, could you please take the floor?
Oh, okay. Am I on?
Yes, we can listen to you.
Okay. Akimbo on the floor. Excuse me for the transcript. I just want to start with the issue of diversity, inclusions. When I had certain statements, diversity in culture and neutrality, I'm confused. I was thinking, probably if we have those two included, we should also include diversity of displacement, diversity of semantics, diversity of color. I think that would be very, very odd. And we'll be missing our major target of addressing specifics. I would very much appreciate if we could define the specifics. If individually we feel certain diversity or diversification that are missing. Probably we could create a document of such purpose and present it forward, and probably others would look at it and see if it's, how do I put it, if it's divisible, so to say. We'll be missing the square pegs in circles. I would suggest, rather, that if anyone, any member of this group feels that there are specifics that need to be addressed, it should be inked and put forward so that we can go through it, and then we can see how sensible or divisible such a contribution will be. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Kimbo. Next on the queue, I have Alan. Alan Greenberg.
Thank you. Just a short comment. Jan's, you know, put what he said as, you know, which he characterized sort of as opposed to what I was saying. I agree with everything he said. My only point was, let's make sure we're doing things which will solve a problem, not just make us look good. Because there is a real danger that we put in measures that do not fix things, but simply make the metrics look better. And that's not the point of all this. The point of this is to really have diversity reflected in what we're doing and in the people who are doing it. So I really don't know why at this level in this group we're talking about the details of how we do it, to be quite honest. I think we should be establishing some principles. There's a lot of work to be done to actually implement it in reality. I'm not sure that's really our job. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Helen. And while I shouldn't, I'm going to do so when I couldn't agree more with you. So, yes, I think we should keep that in mind and establish those set of principles. So I'll handle it back to Sebastian to continue with the next sections on the diversity paper. Or should we go back to PSO and AC accountability paper so we can review the edits that I just made?
Go to the last edit, Sebastian, to the AC ASO paper, please.
Okay, excellent. So if you could all please go back to the Adobe, I'm sorry, to the Google Docs, to the Google Docs version of the SOAC paper. I'm posting again the link on the chat box, and the edits that I've made are on, I've separated the recommendations as suggested by Greg as well, and I've edited paragraphs 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, and 5. 1, 2, and 5, so they read as paragraph 1, amend its current draft document and include in its next proposal the commitment to have each SOAC perform a complete review of their existing accountability mechanisms to be reported to and discussed in the CCWG as part of the Workstream 2 task to be implemented in time for consideration in the first triennial review. This report should include consideration on the mechanisms that each SOAC, as the case may be, has in place to be accountable to their respective constituencies, stakeholder groups, RALOs, etc. Are there any objections to the wording in paragraph 1? Okay, so hearing no objections to this amended paragraph 1, I will now close it for edits and have it as final. Then paragraph 2 reads as this. The subject of SOAC accountability should be included in the purview of the ATRT process, as well as the structural reviews of each SO and AC in relation, as the case may be, to the respective constituencies, stakeholder groups, RALOs, etc. Are there any objections to this wording on paragraph 2? Okay, no objections. And finally, on paragraph 5, review with the current proposal in order to assess whether the IRP would also be applicable to SOAC's activities as well. Are there any to this final edit on SO and AC accountability? I see two hands up, one Alan and the other Avery. So, Alan, would you please take the floor?
I'm sorry, that's a very old man. No.
Okay, then I'll go to Avery.
Avery King. At the moment, I don't think does. So what does it mean to review it? Do we want to do anything once we review it and find out it's either there or not there? Because at the moment, I don't believe that I don't believe that it is covered at all. Perhaps there's an edit I haven't seen that includes it. But the real question here for me is, and so what? Once we review it, what do we want to do about it? Thanks.
Thank you very much, Avery. Yes, I think that the next step after reviewing would be maybe to propose that we amend the document so that we make the IRP extensive or applicable to SOs and ACs, but that is something that, of course, should need to be discussed by a larger group and not only by this subgroup. I saw Jan's hand up, and then suddenly it went down. I don't know, Jan, if you want to comment? I see Jan is typing. Okay, he's passing. Okay, so I see Alan Greenberg's hand is up. Alan, could you please take the floor?
Yeah, just a general comment, and I'm not quite sure where it fits. We are always going to need to strike a balance between an AC and SO being accountable to its members in general and satisfying every member. You know, we have the ombudsman in place, among other things, so that when someone is really upset that the organization is not doing what they want, there is a recourse. I would hate to see us in a position where the one-on-one cases like that end up being accountability issues. I don't know how to protect it, but I really have some worry, having only been in this position now for about six or eight months, but already seeing several cases of it. So I think we need to be careful. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. That's a good point. I don't know if maybe clarifying this in the respective paragraph or discussing this with a larger group would answer to these needs to this point that you're raising now. So I really don't seem to have an answer to that at this point. But now the question remains on paragraph number 5. Do we want to keep this paragraph 5? Or do we want to strike it, or do we want to maybe leave it on brackets so it can be, of course, discussed by the larger group in our Paris meeting? Are there any objections to keeping the paragraph 5 as it is? Avery, is that an old hand or a new hand? Okay, that was an old hand, I think. So, I see no objections to keeping paragraph 5 as it stands now. And if there are no objections, then we would be closing this SO and AC accountability paper as a final version to be, of course, discussed by the larger group. It doesn't mean that it's already set in stone, but it only means that we have some products to deliver to our larger group, and that will be included in the reading list for our Paris meeting. So we have knocked down 2 out of 3. We're doing good. And we still have 10 minutes to go and discuss the final points or the final adjustments to the diversity paper. So I'll hand it back to Sebastian to continue with the discussion on diversity. Sebastian, could you please take the floor?
Thank you very much. I need your advice on how to go there because we are discussing the full document and we didn't get to one or specific points. There are two different points of view here. The one who says that we don't need to have any list of different items under diversity, but it's not the full list, and the other who says that we need at least to have a starting list, and that's what we have today.
Okay.
Unbalanced in that, I think we need to figure out what we want to do. My suggestion is that we have a document with informations and elements and could go to the full group, but Mr. Chair, it's your call.
Thank you very much, Sebastian. And so I would suggest as a solution for this point that we could rephrase the preceding sentence with regards to the list that's being displayed to state that this is, of course, a non-exhaustive list, but, however, are at least some principles that the group came up with regards to trying to guide those that in any given case would be tasked with maybe populating each of the mechanisms or the positions that we would be proposing. So this would only be a list that could guide with regards to trying to address diversity, but of course would be something exhaustive. So I think that could be a solution that clearly states that this is not an exhaustive list, but that we also have to keep in mind at least those criteria. And I see Jen hand this up. Jen, could you please take the floor?
Yes, thanks. Thanks, Leon. Maybe others don't feel strongly about it, in which case we can let it go. But I did suggest adding a phrase just as a reminder and as an explicit signal to the CCWT as a whole that we do have in mind specifying some kind of diversity, regional diversity formula in relation to the new community empowerment mechanism and the IRP once we know what the more precise institutional form of those bodies is going to be. Again, I know that we within this group, we know that we're considering it and we won't be forgetting it. But when we present this to the overall CCWG, they have not been involved in our meetings and they don't know that we've been thinking about it. So I'm just wondering whether it still is prudent still to include a reference in the next steps to that particular issue. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Jen. This is a very good suggestion. I think maybe as part of the next steps we can signal to this. And I see some comments from Caboose that we are not respecting all views. I am trying to find a solution to these, Caboose. I think that, in my mind, at least what I'm suggesting would address your concern of not having a closed list of criteria, and it would also address the concerns from those in the group, which I believe are also a majority within the group, that are trying to at least have some non-exhaustive list of criteria. And I don't know, maybe I think that this is the only solution that I can come up to, and the other alternative would be to maybe signal that there is a minority within the group that doesn't agree with this criteria and doesn't agree with having these non-exhaustive lists as guidance for addressing diversity. But I would definitely ask you to kindly provide your rationale for that so we can add it to the document. Next on the queue, I have Sebastian. Sebastian, could you please take the floor?
Yes, thank you very much. If you look to the document on Google, Jan, I add your point as the point number 6, and Greg is currently writing his suggestion about outreach and engagement that we discussed earlier, and we have to read it. Regarding the list, I suggest the following changes. First, to change must by a multidimensional approach will be useful to be taken regarding diversity. And to add that the current non-exhaustive list of elements that is already under discussion, to add non-exhaustive to answer your suggestion, Leon. I hope that it's answer some of the concern of the different participants, and I have to read again or to read the final proposal from Greg, but I think if we can go in that direction with these four changes, the number 6, the number 7, and the proposal about the list, hope it's going to the right direction. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sebastian. Any other comments on this paper? I see Greg suggesting something, and he's got his hand up now. So, Greg,
two things. One, I just pasted into chat my suggestion dealing with outreach and engagement. So that's there for your discussion. I would also say that any list of diversity criteria needs to be exemplary rather than exhaustive, so that we are not closing off other types of diversity issues other than the ones that we've listed, because I think we'll just end up leaving something out. So I see that that now says non-exhaustive in the document, so I'm happy to see that I'm behind, but at least in step. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chris. And maybe being a little bit abusive on you, could you kindly reflect that or add that suggestion into the document so we can, of course, have this properly
written? It's already in the document. I actually clipped it out and put it into the chat from the document. So.
Okay, so you're really fast.
Yeah, I decided to work in the document and come back to the chat rather than vice versa. I had to write it somewhere.
Thank you very much. Okay, so we are close to reaching the end of the call. I believe that we have a close 2 out of 3 documents. This one is still outstanding. And what I would like to do, if we all agree, is to send the diversity document to reading list with a note that very clearly states that this is not a final version and that it has, of course, some areas that need to be further discussed by a larger group. And this would allow us to deliver at least some working product to the larger group in anticipation for our meeting in Paris. Are there any objections on going this way, having the diversity paper sent with the note that it's not, of course, a final document that we could agree on within the working party and that it should be further discussed? Okay, I see no objections. So I would kindly ask Sebastian, since he is a pen holder for this paper, if you could please add this note to the document, and we can send it to staff so they can add it to the reading list for our meeting in Paris. Okay, so we still have to speak on our Paris meeting, but we are reaching the end of the call. I believe that we have discussed this in our regular meeting, and maybe the expectations that we would be looking for our participation in the Paris meeting would be to present three papers that we have been working on, and explain to the larger group what are the rationales, of course, for the conclusions or the suggestions that we are coming up with, and then, of course, foster discussions so we can find a way to properly address the concerns that were raised through the public comments. Any other comments or any other business at this point that anyone wants to raise? I see Greg's hand still up. I don't know if that's an old hand or a new hand. I think that's an old hand. Okay, so are there any other business? Okay, I don't see anyone raising their hand. So having no other business and having reached the end of the call, I would like to have this call adjourned and thank you everyone for your attendance and hard work, and wish you safe travels to Paris. See you soon.